Jacksonville. Tea Cake's letter had said Jacksonville. He had worked in the railroad shops up there before, and his old boss had promised him a job come next payday. No need for Janie to wait any longer. Wear the new blue dress because he meant to marry her right from the train. Hurry up and come because he was about to turn into pure sugar thinking about her. Come on, baby. Papa Tea Cake never could be mad with you. Janie's train left too early in the day for the town to witness much, but the few who saw her leave bore plenty witness. They had to give it to her. She sure looked good, but she had no business to do it. It was hard to love a woman that always made you feel so wishful. The train beat on itself and danced on the shiny steel rails mile after mile. Every now and then, the engineer would play on his whistle for the people in the towns he passed by. And the train shuffled onto Jacksonville and to a whole lot of things she wanted to see and to know. And there was Tea Cake in the big old station in a new blue suit and straw hat, hauling her off to a preacher's house first thing. Then right onto the room he had been sleeping in for 2 weeks all by himself, waiting for her to come. And such another hugging and kissing and carrying on you never saw. It made her so glad she was scared of herself. They stayed at home and rested that night, but the next night they went to a show, and after that they rode around on the trolley cars and sort of looked things over for themselves. Tea Cake was spending and doing out of his own pocket, so Janie never told him about the $200 she had pinned inside her shirt next to her skin. Phoebe had insisted that she bring it along and keep it secret, just to be on the safe side. She had $10 over her fare in a pocketbook. Let Tea Cake think that was all she had. Things might not turn out like she thought. Every minute since she had stepped off the train, she had been laughing at Phoebe's advice. She meant to tell Tea Cake the joke sometime when she was sure she wouldn't hurt his feelings. So it came around that she had been married a week and sent Phoebe a card with a picture on it. That morning, Tea Cake got up earlier than Janie did. She felt sleepy and told him to get some fish to fry for breakfast. By the time he had gone and come back, she would have finished her nap out. He told her he would, and she turned over and went back to sleep. She woke up, and Tea Cake still wasn't there, and the clock said it was getting late. So she got up and washed her face and hands. Perhaps he was down in the kitchen, fixing around to let her sleep. Janie went down, and the landlady made her drink some coffee with her because she said her husband was dead and it was bad to be having your morning coffee by yourself.
Your husband gone to work this morning, Miss Woods? I seen him go out a good while ago. Me and you can be company for one another, can't us?
Oh, yes, indeed, Miss Samuels. You puts me in the mind of my friend back in Edenville.
Yeah, he was nice and friendly, just like her.
Therefore, Janie drank her coffee and sankled on back to her room without asking her landlady anything. Tea Cake must be hunting all over the city for that fish. She kept that thought in front of her in order not to think too much. When she heard the 12 o'clock whistle, she decided to get up and dress. That was when she found out her $200 was gone. There was the little cloth purse with a safety pin on the chair beneath her clothes, and the money just wasn't nowhere in the room. She knew from the beginning that the money wasn't any place she knew of if it wasn't in that little pocketbook pinned to her pink silk vest. But the exercise of searching the room kept her busy, and that was good for her to keep moving, even though she wasn't doing anything but turning around in her tracks. But don't care how firm your determination is, you can't keep turning around in one place like a horse grinding sugar cane. So Janie took to sitting over the room, sit and look. The room inside looked like a mouth of an alligator, gaped wide open to swallow something down. Outside the window, Jacksonville looked like it needed a fence around it to keep it from running out on Ether's bosom. It was too big to be warm, let alone to need somebody like her. All day and night, she worried time like a bone. Way late in the morning, the thought of Annie Tyler and Hooflung came to pay her a visit. Annie Tyler, who at 52 had been left a widow with a good home and insurance money. Mrs. Tyler, with her dyed hair newly straightened and her uncomfortable new false teeth, her leathery skin blotchy with powder, and her giggle. Her love affairs with boys in their late teens or early 20s, for all of whom she spent her money on suits of clothes, shoes, watches, and things like that, and how they all left her as soon as their wants were satisfied. Then when her ready cash was gone, had come Hooflung to denounce his predecessor as a scoundrel and took up around the house himself. It was he who persuaded her to sell her house and come to Tampa with him. The town had seen her limp off. The undersized, high-heeled slippers were punishing her tired feet that looked like bunions all over. Her body squeezed and crowded into a tight corset that shoved her middle up under her chin. But she had gone off laughing and sure as Janie had been. Then 2 weeks later, the porter and conductor of the northbound local had helped her off the train at Maitland. Hair all gray and black and bluish and reddish in streaks. All the capers that cheap dye could cut were showing in her hair. Those slippers bent and griped, just like her work-worn feet. The corset gone. And the shaking old woman hanging all over herself. Everything that you could see was hanging. Her chin hung from her ears and rippled down her neck like drapes. Her hanging bosom and stomach and buttocks and legs that draped down over her ankles. She groaned, but never giggled. She was broken, and her pride was gone. So she told those who asked what had happened. Hooflung had taken her to a shabby room in a shabby house in a shabby street and promised to marry her next day. They stayed in the room 2 whole days when she woke up to find Hooflung and her money gone. She got up to stir around and see if she could find him and found herself too worn out to do much. All she found out was that she was too old a vessel for new wine. The next day, hunger had driven her out to shift. She had stood on the streets and smiled and smiled and then smiled and begged and then just begged. After a week of world bruising, a young man from home had come along and seen her. She couldn't tell him how it was. She just told him she got off the train and somebody had stolen her purse. Naturally, he had believed her and taken her home with him to give her time to rest up a day or two. Then he had bought her a ticket for home. They put her to bed and sent for her married daughter from up around Ocala to come see about her. The daughter came as soon as she could and took Annie Tyler away to die in peace. She had waited all her life for something, and it had killed her when it found her. The thing made itself into pictures and hung around Janie's bedside all night long. Anyhow, she wasn't going back to Eatonville to be laughed at and pitied. She had $10 in her pocket and $1,200 in the bank. But, oh, God, don't let Tea Cake be off somewhere hurt and I not know nothing about it. And, God, please, sir, don't let him love nobody else but me. Maybe I'm as a fool, Lord, like to say. But, Lord, I've been so lonesome. And I've been waiting, Jesus. I done waited a long time.
Janie dozed off to sleep, but she woke up in time to see the sun sending up spies ahead of him to mark out the road through the dark. He peeped over the door sill of the world and made a little foolishness with Red, but pretty soon he laid all that aside and went about his business dressed all in white. But it was always going to be dark to Janie if Tea Cake didn't soon come back. She got out of the bed, but a chair couldn't hold her. She dwindled down on the floor with her head in a rocking chair.